Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Every week we try to review and we just try to look at all the different qualities. You know, one thing, when you think about the fruit of the Spirit and you think about the character that we find in God's Word, we find that all in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord Jesus is our ultimate example of the different character qualities that we have studied. But you can read the list there. I don't have to read it for you, but these are the ones that we have studied. Now, last week I tried to stump you on attentiveness, and turns out most of you knew my attentive lesson, and my little test that I gave you, and you passed with flying colors. But tonight I want us to look at the quality of meekness. I want you to take your Bibles and open your Bibles to Psalm chapter 62 and verse 5. Let me ask you a question. What do you do when people don't respond the way you want them to respond? How do you deal with that? If you want them to give in to your side and they don't, many times we feel like, you know, it's my right that I am treated this way. It is my right that you should do what I want you to do. It is my right that this is mine, whatever it is that you may be bickering over, whatever the case may be in that situation. Most conflicts in life come because we feel like that our rights are violated. In other words, it is my God-given right that I have this thing and you want it. It is my God-given right that you respect me the way you should respect me, and therefore you can very easily come into conflict with others because you feel like that your rights are violated. But here is meekness. And we're going to talk a lot about meekness tonight, but let's just get the definition down. Yielding my personal rights and expectations to God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if God is sovereign, and He is, if history is His story, and it is, then there's not anything that surprised the Lord, is there? There's not anything that is a surprise to Him. And Psalm 62 and verse 5 says it this way: my soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from Him. Most of the time when Kelly and I are in conflict, and it is very rare, it's because I had an expectation. Now, she never puts the expectations on me. It's always my fault, okay? Did I say that right, honey? I'm just kidding. No. You know, whenever you're in a relationship, you have a conflict, normally there's an expectation. But the psalmist says, I'm waiting on God. What is that verse? I love that verse in Isaiah chapter 40. They that wait upon the Lord. And I love, at one time I did a study on that word, to wait. It's the idea of a fabric. You know, your seat belt. Have you ever looked at a seat belt? You're talking about some thin thread. It's got to be a cloth, but it has to be incredibly powerful because of the amazing way that that thing is woven together. It's incredibly strong and powerful. The word "they that wait upon the Lord" means to entwine. It means to be like a fabric. In other words, here's the picture. Those that entwine their lives with God shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God gives amazing blessing and amazing resiliency in this life when we entwine our lives with God and our expectation is from Him. Now, in the New English Bible, it says it this way in Psalm 62:5, let all that I am wait quietly before God. We don't like to wait quietly. If we wait, we like to let it be known. If I'm in line and I'm waiting to get to my order in, or I'm waiting for the order to be given, if I'm waiting, it's very rare that I'm waiting quietly, particularly if it lasts a while. I may go up there and say, hey, just wanted you to know, we've been here for about 10 minutes. Go up there, just wanted you to know, it's been about 15 minutes. You got a manager here? You know, I don't wait quietly. But the psalmist says, let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my expectation is for Him. Meekness, what an amazing quality that God can give you and give me. And the definition, yielding my personal rights and expectations to God. Now, the first little blank there is the word meekness. Meekness is not weakness. Can I say this to you? Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5, He says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. He says to people, come unto me, for I am meek. The Lord is meek, but I can promise you this, He's not weak. Meekness is power, listen, power under control. Anger is an emotion that spills out onto people. It's like, you know, if I ever get angry, normally there's more anger in me than what came out. The Lord Jesus was incredibly powerful. The scripture says that He willingly went to the cross, but we know that He could have spoken the word and 10,000 angels could have come and delivered Him, and yet He was power under control. I want to make it clear that meekness is not weakness. It is power under control. Now, I want you to look at, let's go to the next one here. Meekness is willing to wait on God's will. Now, in the days of Jesus, there were the zealots, there were the political followers of Judaism who wanted a earthly kingdom, and they were wanting Jesus to become that earthly king. And so they were the zealots. You see, this meekness is not a picture of what the zealots were doing. They were wanting political action right then. And yet Jesus Christ was meek. Meekness is willing to wait on God's will, not like the zealots. The zealots wanted it immediately. I want you to look at Psalm 37. Go back to Psalm chapter 37 and verse 11. Psalm 37, 11. We're talking about meekness, not weakness, but meekness. Psalm 37, 11 says this, but the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Do you know that you will rule, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you, along with the Lord Jesus, will rule and reign in the earth. The Lord is going to allow us to inherit the earth. You know what our problem is? Listen, we want it now. We're not willing to wait. We're not willing to be patient. We do not show meekness. Now, I want you to go back to the book of Numbers. There's a great passage here that I want you to see. Numbers, you have it right there, chapter 12 and verse 3. Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3. We know that Jesus was meek. In verse 3, it says this. Excuse me. Now the man Moses was very humble. Some translations actually use the word meek. More than all men who were on the face of the earth. Moses was a great leader, and yet more so than any man on the earth. He was, this translation, the New King James Bible, says that he was humble. All right? Now, this is not the normal word for humility used in the Old Testament. This word means a devout dependence on God. Meekness is a devout dependence on the Lord. Look in your Bibles at the book of Exodus. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 3. The Bible says that Moses was as meek, the meekest man on the earth at that time. And yet we know what Moses did. We know the awesome power that Moses exhibited in leading his people out of Egypt, God's people out of Egypt. In Exodus chapter 3 and verse 11, let's go back to verse 10. God is speaking to Moses in the burning bush. God's presence appeared to Moses in the burning bush. And in chapter 3 of Exodus, verse 10 and 11, it says this, "Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Verse 11, "But Moses said to God, 'Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?'" Moses realized his human limitations. He was humble. He was very meek in the way he responded to the assignment God gave him. Listen, most of the people the Lord uses are people that don't really, they wonder how in the world God could do it through them. And then they gain the assurance that God will be with them, that he will strengthen them, but they're very aware of their human limitations. That is a sign of meekness. Most of us, if we're not careful, we say, "Oh, listen, that team be the man, they'll be glad to have me. That ministry be glad to have me. Boy, I could really make a difference here." Moses, the great thing that God did through Moses' life, he said, "Lord, how could I do this? How could I ever do this?" So Moses knew his dependence upon the Lord. And in Numbers 12, verse 3, it showed a devout dependence upon the Lord, not using the same, it uses a very unique word that shows his consecration to God. Now, I want you to look at Philippians, and we're getting close here. I want you to focus with me right here on this very important passage in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. The Lord Jesus Christ left heaven's glory. If there was anyone who would sit on a throne, it would be God Almighty through his Son Jesus Christ. And yet the Bible says in verse 5, Philippians 2, 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God." One translation says it this way: he did not think of that as something to be grasped. Now, folks, listen, when we have an accolade, when we have something that is of great value, many times we grasp it and hold on to it. But the Bible says that he did not consider it, my translation says, robbery to be equal with God, or something to be grasped. "But he made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself." That word means to make low. "He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross." Jesus laid down personal rights for you. Now, he did not empty himself of his deity completely. He was all God, and yet he was all man. It's supernatural. I don't totally know how to explain that any different than just to say that he functioned on this earth as a man, and yet he was God incarnate. He was 100% God and 100% man. But I will say this to you, he left heaven's glory and he said, "Look, I'm up here in heaven's glory, but for them, this is not something I'm going to hold on to." He demonstrated humility by becoming a servant. He modeled meekness in our life. And so Jesus laid down his personal rights for you. My question is this: will you lay down your personal rights for others? Will you lay down your personal rights for your family? Will you lay down your personal rights for your children? Children, will you lay your personal rights down for your parents? This quality of meekness is a quality that was found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. Go towards the end of your scripture there and go to the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, a great verse of scripture for us sharing our faith. But sanctify, this is 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for a reason of the hope that is in you. Is that where it ends? No. With what? Meekness and fear. In other words, when we share the gospel with people, we do not share it. We do not necessarily share it like with a club, like we are beating it over someone's head. No, in humility, because it has changed our life, with a tear in our eye, we share with those around us that need Jesus Christ. And Peter gives us that admonition. When we are to be ready to give a defense, never ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but we share it with meekness, this quality, meekness and fear. Now, I want to close by just relaying a story. Matter of fact, I should have brought the book. The book is in our library. And I want you to write this down, and it's called The Pineapple Story. The Pineapple Story is a story about a missionary named Otto Koning. Otto Koning served in Dutch New Guinea. He was serving the Lord. He had clinics. He had a store, and he was serving the Lord there, And in this island, he wanted pineapples. And this village where he served had no pineapples. And so he went over to another mission and found, and got some pineapple plants, about 100 of them. And he paid a man in the village in salt and other commodities. That was the way they paid the workers there. And he paid this man to plant these pineapples. Well, the pineapple shoots, you know, the first year they just barely came up out of the ground. And they said it would take at least 3 years for them to have any pineapples. And so, boy, him and his wife, they were so excited because, boy, they just love that fresh fruit. And he'd look out there over his field and go, man, isn't this great? The Lord has given me some pineapples. And, you know, I paid this man to plant these pineapples and everything. So he just began to watch them. Well, 3 years into it, these beautiful pineapples. They were young, but they started to come up, and they all were going to get the pineapples. And they harvest somewhere close to the story that I read around Christmas time, it sounded like. So anyway, but they were about to be ready. They would go through there and watch them and say, this one's almost ready. Well, then they'd come out there, and the one that was the most ripe would be gone. The people of the village were ripping off his pineapples. And he'd go back to his house and he'd say, honey, this is not right. We are teaching these people a wrong truth here. We are letting them get away with getting our pineapples. These are my pineapples. I paid that man to plant these pineapples. I went over and got these pineapples. I want to eat these pineapples. And so they had a clinic. And so he just told the people of the village, he said, you take my pineapples, I'm shutting down this clinic. He thought, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you for going after my pineapples. And so he stopped the clinic. Well, eventually, of course, the people there were sick. There was all kinds of disease, and they had the medication that would help the people. But folks, listen, it was the principle of the thing. These were my pineapples, Otto said. Otto. That was his name. These are my pineapples. And so you take my pineapples, I'm closing my clinic. Well, the sickness continued, and it was just getting bad, and the people begged him for the medicine. And finally, he realized that the one stealing the pineapples was the man that planted them. And here was their rule of the village: if you plant something, it's yours. And so he got the man aside. He said, "Hey, buddy." He said, "Look, these are my pineapples." He said, "Oh, no, I planted them. Whatever." He said, "I paid you in salt. I paid you in meat. I paid you to plant those pineapples." The man said, "It's the rule of the village. Whatever you plant, you get to take it." Well, the missionary was just beside himself. He wanted to open up the clinic. He wanted to bring healing to the people, but he was mad about it because those were his pineapples. Well, eventually, he said, "All right." He got that guy aside. He said, "I'll tell you what. I'll give you half the pineapples." I mean, he's trying to negotiate with this guy. "I'll give you half the pineapples. These are my half." So he walked the guy out there. He said, "Look, now these are yours, right?" "Oh, yeah, oh, yeah." "And these are mine, right?" "Oh, yeah, oh, yeah." Well, when his got ripe the next time, they kept taking the pineapples. Infuriated the man. And so he said, "All right, look." He said, "No more store." He shut down the trade store. The people began to move away. So here was the man. They moved away because they had no reason to be there. There was no store. There was no clinic. And so they moved back into the bush. So here's the man sitting on his front porch, listen, with a pineapple, with no ministry. The people were gone. And he just sat there and said, "Honey, this is not right. We're over here to help these people. But I got my pineapples." So anyway, he thought about it. He goes, "Look, I'm gonna give them all of these pineapples. I'm going to plant another field." So he planted another field. Another 3 years went by, and guess what? They took those pineapples. The man was furious. He went out and got him a German shepherd. He said, "All the little dogs in that village were all mangy and scrawny." He said, "I got the biggest German shepherd you could get, and I fed him well." And he said he chased all the village members out. And, you know, "I got my pineapples," but he was just overcome with anger towards these people, and they would sneak them, and they would come and get them. Meanwhile, he learned about meekness. And he realized something, ladies and gentlemen, that I need to learn, okay? Can I just sign up for this course? Thank you. Jacob told me I could, so anyway, he said, "Sure, okay." So anyway, you know, when you ask questions, you're going to get answers sometimes right up here on the front row. But I want you to know, I'll sign up for this. He learned this lesson, you know, that everything that we have in this life is from the hand of God. And he learned that God can take better care of his stuff than we can. And so this missionary went to the people, and he actually, before he went to the people, he went out into the field and he said, "God," he said, "I'm giving you all these pineapples." And so he said, "Lord, these are all yours." And he gave them to the Lord. He went on with the clinic, went on with the store. The people, the villagers were stealing the pineapples. One of them came to the missionary and said, "You have become a Christian, haven't you?" He said, "What are you talking about? I've been a Christian for over 20 years. He said, "Let me tell you something. Of course I'm a Christian." He said, "Well," he was a little incensed that they would ask him that question. They said, "Well, we think you've become a Christian because you're not angry anymore." And as a result of him releasing what he had to the Lord, they said, "You have become a Christian. You're not angry." And he told them, he said, "I gave the pineapples to God. They're not my pineapples anymore, they're God's. So if you steal those pineapples, you're stealing God's pineapples." Well, all of a sudden, the people of the village, they said, "No wonder we aren't getting the pigs in the hunt like we used to. No wonder our babies are sick. God is mad with us. We're taking his pineapples. And so, all of a sudden, the people, they quit stealing the pineapples. And as a result, the missionary and the people of the village gave other things that they possessed to God. They just gave it to God. And as the story ends in the pineapple story, the missionary had some pineapples and the villagers had some pineapples. But what was interesting is the man came to Otto Koning and he said to him, "We believe you have become a Christian." Ladies and gentlemen, our anger is because our expectations, the way we interpret them, have not been met. And therefore, we believe we have the right to have our way. Meekness says we have given our personal rights over to God, and therefore, it is power under control. Meekness is not weakness, but it is power under control. And as a result, there was great joy that took place in the ministry there because Otto realized something. Everything he had was God's, and he gave his personal rights over to the Lord. And guess what? I will say this to you. The Lord can take better care of his stuff than we can. I heard a guy say one time that he got it on his heart that whatever he had, if somebody needed to borrow it, they're welcome to it. And somebody had borrowed his chainsaw and messed up his chainsaw. And so he took the chainsaw into the repair shop, and it was a very nice chainsaw. And he said, "Listen, this is the guy that was working on it said to the owner of the chainsaw, said, look, this has kind of been abused here a little bit. This is not really the way this should have been done." And the man said, "Yeah, I loaned it out." And the man chided him and said, "You never loan out a chainsaw. You know, your chainsaw is your chainsaw. It would be a mistake to loan out a chainsaw." And this man just made the statement. He said, "You know, it's really not my chainsaw, it's God's chainsaw." And he said this, he said, "You're telling me that I would not loan someone a chainsaw, and yet the God of creation died on a cross for that man. And I wouldn't loan him a chainsaw?" Now, this was really shook me up on listening to this guy, and that's a whole nother message. But this man had said, he had said to those around him, "Everything I have is God's, and if you need it, you're welcome to borrow it." There was joy in the voice of that man. I think sometimes, folks, when we begin to gather things and our expectations all around us and we think our ways are being violated, you know what's interesting? We're not happy. But when we release our personal rights to God and say, "Lord, everything I have is yours. You take better care of your stuff than I do," God tends to give freedom and blessing in that situation. And the ultimate example is the Lord Jesus, who was in heaven's glory, and he said, "I thought that to sit on the throne of God was not something to hold on to or to be grasped, but he came to this earth and made himself of no reputation, took on the form of a servant, and became in the likeness of men, and he died on the cross for your sins and mine." Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.